Welcome to a brand new episode of the Z2 Podcast, where three friends traipse along the Black Gardens. As always, I am your host and hunter, Zach.
I am your original Titan and co-host, Zach.
I'm the OG Warlock, Steven.
And Destiny 2 came out this week.
Last week.
Oh my god.
The Raid came out this week.
Yay. I started playing yesterday.
So I was the only one of the three of us that started playing day one. Then you got it Thursday, right?
Yeah, I started playing Thursday.
And then you started playing it yesterday.
Yeah, I just like sending the picture to Jim. It's like in our group chat. And
we
it's just the
so
download
much good
bar.
News to Jim yesterday. He was so happy.
As he's in Hawaii, as he should be.
Fuck.
But it's like, I show him the download bar, and he goes, wait, what the shit? Because I have expressed my disinterest in Destiny, especially after the first game. Like, I mean, it's a fine game. The guns sound nice. There's an actual plot
I can follow.
I
still just want them to accept that they're an MMO and just go with it already. They keep saying they're not an MMO.
Well, it's the same way that Borderlands isn't an MMO.
Well, it's not. Borderlands has a definitive end.
Well, and you can only have up to four people. It's not like a whole online community. It's
That's fair.
A self-contained world that only you and potentially three friends can control.
Okay.
See, the thing is, Destiny has all the classifications of an MMO. You have upgrading gear. You have a raid.
Well, you don't have upgrading gear anymore.
Yeah, you do.
Upgradable gear. Like, picking up gear and stuff.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, the whole...
I'm more thinking of, like, the leveling system of gear, like, where you have to get it to a level, and then you get the perks, and...
Oh, like no. I wasn't thinking... Not that.
I didn't even think about leveling up
and getting different sets of gear is what I'm talking about.
Going through the leveling system last night, I'm like, oh, I'm level 5. What do I do with this newfound power? And it's like...
You shoot things.
Yeah, I continue to use my gun.
You still shoot things.
And I get different grenades.
Every now and again, you can shoot things with more power, but...
It's like, the game kept giving me hand cannons last night as loot. And I'm like, dismantle.
My auto rifle is
pretty weak, but it does a little bit more damage over time, I would assume. It wasn't me who beeped this time.
That was me. I buzzed.
How?
Because apparently Facebook still wants to remind me that TED Talks in Boulder are happening today.
Oh, cool.
Oh, neat.
Even though I didn't get tickets for it.
Today's Tim Husky's birthday.
Yeah, shout out to a friend and... Butt plug enthusiast.
Aggravated artist. Aggravated art. On
Happy
Facebook.
Birthday, Tim. A very merry Tim Day to all of us.
Yeah, dude. Liam Sharp followed me on Twitter. Yeah. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, best Tim Day present ever.
I'm like, I've made like a few comments here and there. Like he, you know how like Greg Capullo has the Capullo army?
Yeah.
So Liam Sharp has started his own like coalition. It's the Sharpie Peace Force.
Oh, so
something
that's
along
why everything's
lines.
Sharpie.
Yeah, and I'm like, where do I sign my membership card? And then I just, like, I messaged him back a couple of times. And then it's like, oh, Liam Sharp follows you. I'm like, what? Why?
Why do you want this?
Would this be Tim's giving? Thanks, Timming. Timsmas.
I'm really a big fan of Thanks, Timming.
I like Thanks, Timming.
Okay.
That's the best ring.
Very merry Thanks, Timming.
Yeah, and so I was trying to do some schoolwork, and then it's like, oh, Liam Sharp followed you on Twitter. I'm like, hopefully this was an accident, and I'm going to try and quickly, like, draw out a Wonder Woman thing to do. Maybe. Come on.
Get your next house sigil banner ready.
Dude, I'm so excited by doing these. Like, I was laying in bed thinking about it. I'm like, how can I make a really cool blank, like, banner? And I'm like, oh, what if I just, like, turn it into, like, different, like, weapon shapes or banner shapes.
Like, standards.
Yeah.
For houses.
So I was sitting there thinking about all the different ways I could draw the banners, like how many little flaps the flag will have at the bottom, or in this one that I'm working on right now is like a giant shield. So slowly but surely.
If you will.
Yeah. I'm going to do the kind of funny coat of arms. It's just a smiley face. It's great.
Maybe one day someone from Kind of Funny will listen to us.
Maybe.
We're three friends.
Gather around
this table.
What you should do is you should have... Oh, this is real... So you should have the smiley face in the center and then like split into thirds. So you have the games cast, games daily.
That's way too much work.
But it would look so cool.
It would, but I do not have the
and
time
maybe you
for that.
Even get a Greg Miller like.
Maybe. One day.
You could join the Greg Miller Industries application list.
Oh, I haven't even seen that yet.
There,
I saw it on, someone mentioned on Reddit.
So the ongoing joke is that Greg Miller needs to clear out his PSN friends list, but he doesn't have the time or willpower to do it. So he's trying to found Greg Miller Industries to hire someone to do that for him.
Okay.
So people are just sending in their application videos. And I'll do it. They're fucking hilarious.
Damn it. I was going to be like super real about it, like send in my resume and why I'm qualified, show him like pictures of my filing cabinet.
I think he is serious about hiring someone for like a day and he's going to pay them with like a nice dinner.
I do it.
Nice dinner with Greg Miller.
Yeah.
The man who says Batman vs. Superman was a good movie.
The sole proponent of keeping the PS Vita alive.
I think Persona did that.
Yeah, Persona 4 Golden kept it alive for a little bit. But then the lack of games actually coming out for it kind of killed it.
Well, game companies still release stuff for it every now and again.
But it's discontinued in the US, yeah. Just like the Wii U is now.
That's why he lives on Vita Island.
And that's why I refresh the Nintendo Switch page every day to see if Stardew Valley's out. Because as soon as Stardew Valley's out on Switch, Destiny's gone.
But what about co-op? You got to save yourself for co-op later this year.
But I need to practice having a controller. Because I've only done mouse and keyboard.
See, the co-op's going to be on mouse and keyboard, though.
Well, no. Switch is the first console that gets it other than PC.
Okay.
So I'm going to have my co-op with you on PC, and then I'm going to have my co-op with Steve on Switch.
You're assuming I'm even going to get it.
Come on. You gotta buy it for you. You got to get yourself hype.
Didn't you see my Twitter picture or my Facebook picture of Stardew Valley is better than real life?
And that, and the fact that when I was watching the Nintendo Direct... And you came home that day. The first thing you asked was, they show Stardew Valley? No.
That's all that matters.
No, they haven't.
I don't care all these first-party titles. Chucklefish showed off
their wizarding school Stardew Valley, though, which I'm fucking excited for whenever that comes out.
Eventually is the hope.
Hopefully.
There's a Kickstarter that I saw that it's like Monster Hunter meets Stardew Valley.
Oh, Pokemon.
And I'm actually interested in it. I can't remember the name of it. I need to go find it.
There was a game I backed recently called Virgo versus the Zodiac. It's like this cool kind of 8-bitty Final Fantasy.
I've seen that one, yeah.
It looks really cool.
Is that the one that's being published by Square?
I don't think it's being published by Square.
That was Octopath.
Octopath Square Traveler. Actually does a really cool thing now. Where it's like, here are these games that we're interested in publishing through Indiegogo, and you can still crowdfund them.
This one I backed on Fig, so the same service that Psychonauts was done through. They're actually they're like adding more stretch goals too, and I think the next one's actually like an Xbox One version, which is pretty cool.
There is going to be an Xbox One version. That was part of the original lineup when they announced Psychonauts 2.
Oh, no. I'm talking about the other game I backed. Okay.
I was going to say, I'm like, I put $60 into Psychonauts.
Yeah, I got PC and the Xbox One version. I mean,
we all have kickstarting games that we're getting.
Eventually.
I got Battle Chasers Night War coming out. Shout out to you, Joe Mad.
Virgo doesn't come out till like next, like fall 2018. So I'm like,
two more years.
That's fair.
Two more years.
Battle Chasers. It'll be a fun surprise. The Tuesday before my birthday.
Hooray.
Happy birthday to me. I'm buying that game for myself.
Steve's giving. Yes, Steve gave his money to this game. I think the only game I've ever backed, other than Psychonauts, has been Stardew Valley. So I feel like I'm like partial. I'm very partial to that game just because it's like part of my world.
If Chucklefish puts out like an Indiegogo or Kickstarter for their new game, I will absolutely fund that.
I haven't looked through the recent kickstarting video games.
A lot of them have flopped recently.
There was one out there that I was really interested in. It was a Metroidvania style game. Not even Metroidvania, just Castlevania style, because it was essentially Castlevania, but
platforming.
Yeah,
you would actually, going back to Nintendo Direct, Octopath. It's the same people that made Bravely Default. It actually uses the same Bravely Default combat system.
Oh.
And it uses all the character classes from Final Fantasy, but it's like 2.5D, where everything is like the stereotypical pixelated 1632-bit. And then you do the attacks, it adds depth to it and turns everything to add a 3D effect.
It goes into like a forced 3D almost, or 2.5D perspective. Of like everything's flat, and then as you go in, like the camera shifts to kind of put an angle to it while you're doing the attack.
And it's called Octopath because there's 8 different characters.
No, it's right now it's Project Octopath Traveler.
Yes.
Title a work in progress.
Okay.
But there's 8 different characters that play the game 8 different ways. Like you can be a dancer and you can allure people and seduce them to fighting for you. Or you can be a brawler and just beat the shit out of people.
Yeah, it's like you could be the fighter who fights anyone you want to. You can walk up to a person and say, fight me.
Fight me, bitch.
And then you'll duel. Or you can be the dancer who allures people to either follow you to solve a quest, or you can call them to fight for you in battle.
Huh. That's pretty neat. Is that on PC?
Switch.
Damn it.
It's like we have 2 Nintendo Switches sitting in the house.
At all times.
Yeah. Mine's literally been sitting in the other living room since like last week.
Keep me occupied for a little bit.
Eventually. But you gotta switch. Like, eventually.
Click.
We're watching the Nintendo Direct, and then Steve just keeps raising his fingers. And
well, because, like, yeah, because
Switch announcement.
It's like, and now we're going to switch to another title.
It's the click noise. They also showed like all the sport ball games for Switch.
They did not look good. They looked like pre-alpha. NBA and
all those.
FIFA, NBA and FIFA.
And WWE.
I mean, they're toned-down versions of the actual game. Like, we can only expect so much.
They look bad. Like, Zelda runs beautifully in handheld mode.
Right, because it's the first party.
Well, not even that, but it's stylized for Switch, where these games are like, all right, this third of the development team, you're building the Switch title.
You got to tone down.
And then it's like all the photorealistic stuff, and then this is like the Play-Doh section.
There's tone down, and then there's what they showed at the Nintendo Direct, which again, I would believe that was pre-alpha, maybe alpha footage.
If it wasn't coming out at the end of the month.
Yeah. Because I was like, yeah, well, maybe it's going to be a while before it comes out. Comes out end of October. Well, then.
Maybe
it looks better on the actual like handheld screen since they can compress it in more.
I don't think there's really any way to make what they showed look better.
I'm trying to give them the benefit of the doubt.
I tried to also, but there was no excuse for what they showed.
If I really wanted to, you know, play FIFA, I would actually go out of my way to get it on Xbox instead of my Switch. Yeah,
it just seems weird. It's like, okay, I get why we need that, or at least why people who have a Switch, it's like, all right, third-party developers, you can make games that run fine on the Switch, like, that are the full AAA experience. This is kind of that rocky test run of those.
Yeah, it's like, EA makes so much money anyways, they don't give a fuck.
Very true.
But other cool things, they showed like the first ever MOBA on Switch.
It looks exactly like League of Legends.
Is it like that Mobile Fighters or whatnot?
No. I can't remember what it was called, but Steve and I were joking around. If they put out Smite, I'm like, well, fuck me. I would play it at
The problem I have with all the online games for Switch is that
they exist.
The Switch isn't really designed for that. Like, they want you to take it on the go.
Yeah, dude, you hook up to the Starbucks coffee Wi-Fi.
Where do you think you're going to be playing this mostly? On like a plane or somewhere where you don't have reliable connections?
You can buy Wi-Fi on a plane.
Sure.
You can also get snakes on a plane.
I mean, I wonder if it works better in Japan since their Wi-Fi infrastructure is like miles ahead of what we're at.
Yeah. I mean, I'm waiting for Elon Musk to put his magical satellites up and, you know, universal Wi-Fi.
So the first move for the Switch is called Arena of Valor.
That sounds like your stereotypical MOBA name.
Yep.
Smite's Battle God. Battlegrounds of the Gods.
35 heroes, including tanks, mages, warriors, marksmen, and more.
Ooh.
Modes mentioned during the direct include 5v5, 3v3, and 1v1, as well as MOBA staples, including First Blood, Double Kills, etc. A beta for Arena Valor will launch on Switch for free this winter.
I'm wondering, when is the MOBA craze going to finally die?
Never.
That astounds me that, like, everyone thought Overwatch was going to kill League of Legends. Nope, League of Legends is still... No, it's PUBG that's going to kill League of Legends now.
Well, even PUBG is starting to plateau. I was going to say flatline, but
you
not
say
dead.
That, but they keep getting more and more players
like,
every month.
Yeah, they're at 10 million. Like,
I think they broke Dota's concurrent player record this last week.
But it's like,
this game isn't out yet. It's early access still.
It's one of those games that it doesn't hit my fancy as much as it did the two of you when you first played it, but it is a game I enjoy watching.
Yeah. It's, yeah, I mean, it's something to, that I don't mind playing if I have people to play with,
mm-hmm.
because that's way more interesting than just running around an empty field and then, oh, look, I got sniped and I'm dead.
Never mind the fact that Tim keeps asking us, hey, when are we going to play
PUBG? Yeah, well, sorry, Tim, Destiny 2 has called and now it's got taking
my
Destiny
2 experience was I was silent for like 2 hours, just like staring at my screen. I'm like, oh my God, there's a story.
There's things going on.
And then you ask the occasional question of like, hey, can I do this?
There are some really fun characters. The clambering, I was mentioning it last night. I'm like, it's so inconsistent of when it works.
You know who has a really good clambering system? Halo. Just got to bring that difference.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait for Halo 6. I mean, playing Destiny just made me excited for Halo. Which is such
What's even weirder is like they made all the reticles exactly like the Halo ones from Reach.
I know, it's like,
I'm just like,
that was Bungie's
like Scout
Last Pharrell.
Scout Rifle's the same one as the DMR.
Last Pharrell Williams.
Makes him happy. But it was really fun actually like playing Destiny and then like joining in on public events and they actually show you where the fuck they are now and you don't have to upload a Google.
Based map and fast travel is the best.
But like I did 2 public events with this dude and he kept inviting me to a party. I'm like, no, I don't want to talk to you. Leave me alone. And then, gosh, just like wandering into areas where I'm not supposed to be. And it's like, oh, recommended power level 60. Good thing you were 23. I'm like, shit, get my shit rocked.
You could probably be fine.
Yeah, I use my fancy hunter staff thing and managed.
Spear.
Your Darth Maul lightsaber.
It's a spear.
I just want my golden gun back.
Meanwhile, I'm over here throwing shields like Captain America, and it even makes the ping noise when it hits the ground and bounces off things.
It makes the ricochet noises.
Ding, ding. It's pretty cool.
Have you gotten which armor piece for the Titan did you go with?
I went with the arms, the purple ones.
The ones that
I forget the name.
Yeah, I can't remember. It's like it's not Void Fang because that was Warlock chest piece.
Yeah. I can't remember what it's called.
Doomfang Pauldrons?
Maybe?
Doomfist.
I like the War Pig one. It's like, I want the sweet business in that combo. That's what I want my eventual setup to be.
Like, the melee to get your shield throwback is so nice in, like, big crowds.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's like, throw shield, punch, throw shield, punch, throw shield.
When does my grenade recharge come back faster?
It really does.
I found that I think if you get the more kills you get with the grenade, the more recharge you get for it. Because I was trying to test it because I noticed like at like a certain instance, my grenade was like immediately recharged.
It's probably something with your armor.
Maybe.
It's probably a passive that the more kills you get with a grenade, the faster it recharges. And that's what they're kind of going with is
mods.
You want to form your armor to how you want your character to work. If you want your grenades to come back sooner, you want to have more grenade recharge on your armor.
Or if you want to be like super tanky, you can add more resilience.
See, I'm a panic grenade person. Like as I'm trying to run away, I throw a grenade and I run away a lot.
Pulse grenades are the best right now.
I found kind of upset for like the first hour of gameplay when I didn't have my stupid picnic blanket anymore. And it's like, here's your refugee hood. And then I found and then I'm talking to the dude and hold up in the church.
Davern,
yeah.
And he has an item that's called At least it's a cape. At least it's a cape. And I'm like, yep, purchase.
you can get your picnic blanket back.
Replaced so quick.
Huh?
That's going to get replaced so quick.
Yeah. I just had
constantly get.
I was talking to Steve level. About it. I'm like, does Glimmer do anything yet? And he's like, not really. I'm like, okay, I'm going to just spend it willy-nilly.
You can buy things with it, but you'll get it back immediately. Like, I haven't dropped below 90,000 Glimmer.
Okay.
Since I hit the cap, which is 100,000.
I don't know if I've spent any.
The only... You'll spend it when you get more into infusing and all of that, but you'll get it back almost immediately. Like, I spent
a thousand
infusing, and then in 20 minutes later, I had it back because they just throw it at you this time.
Man, you guys are going to... I don't know if I'm ever going to be able to raid with you guys just because of the sheer fact I don't play on the weekdays. I never touch my Xbox or play any video games on the weekdays.
You could eventually get there.
But I'm just sitting there and, you know, Jim's all hyped up for the raid. I'm like, I'm never gonna raid.
See, okay.
Get your raid ready.
See, think of it this way. I'm at like power level 215 right now. I need to be at least 260 for recommended for the raid. Like, I've spent maybe 2.5 days playing.
Tomorrow's Monday, Zach.
I know.
I have to work a 14-hour day on Tuesday. I'm just saying,
you think it's going to take you months, but couple weekends, you'll be good.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, the amount of time that maybe when Jim gets back from Hawaii, and he's like, all right, let's raid. I'm like,
he's straight up said that he's not going to be doing anything but Destiny next weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Because Angelica's going to be gone. He's like, I'm going to Destiny all weekend.
Should we just have him over? Like, we can
have him bring his Xbox.
Yeah, we have a fourth TV.
It's true. He can just chill upstairs with me.
Or even him up in the second living room.
Yeah, it's true.
Let's do it. Jim. We'll have a sleepover.
Yay!
We can all wear our jammies and play Destiny all night.
It's 10 o'clock. The old man Zach is going to bed. Night, guys.
What's that? 9:30? It's bedtime.
Well, thanks, I was joking when Jenkins. I'm like, it's 8:30, I'm going too. To sleep.
Yeah, when you came home, you're like, I didn't just get home from school. So I'm going to go to bed now. It's 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Night, guys.
Like, oh, he was dead serious.
He's probably just changing or something.
Don't see me for the rest
of the night. Nope, he went to sleep at 8 o'clock on a Friday.
11 hours of sleep.
Straight party animal, this one.
I was like, all right, he's either going to wake up at 4 a.m. because he went to bed at 8, or he's going to sleep in and... Just
destroyed myself. My bed was so comfortable. Dude, I can't wait for just being busy again. It was really funny, and Zach's like, man, how did you already kill yourself? I'm like, Zach, this is normal work hours.
I don't remember being this bad last year.
Well, that's because you didn't talk to me almost all the time. You didn't see me.
I guess that's true.
Like, the beginning of the school year always sucks. The end of the school year always sucks. I find, like, a nice balance of, like, I can just sit down time in the middle. But I just recently discovered I have Civ 5 installed on my computer again. And
No.
Well, no, I'm dedicating myself to Destiny. If I have any free time tonight, I'll play that.
Yeah, give it... Get through, like... I would say, like, if you really want to experience the raid... Get to that point, experience the raid, put Destiny away until new content comes out in December or something. Because I did buy the expansion pass, so you have access to that.
I don't think I get that.
You do. You should.
Okay.
Because it was part of the bundle I got.
I got the $100 edition, and John got all of the stuff, including the emote, the sword, the ghost, all of that, even the pre-order bonuses he got.
That's fair. Cool stuff. So should we actually talk about comic books?
Sure.
So, why not?
Comic books?
The biggest change up this week has been in creative teams and creative artists. Who's going to new books? Who's starting new books? The one that's not on our list is the Marvel 2-in-1 series, which is being written by Chip Zdarsky. And it's supposed to be like the team-up title of The Thing, Human Torch, and one other character for each story arc, I believe.
Interesting.
And I'm like, out of all the people they could have put on that title... Putting Chip Zdarsky on it, it's like, that's a really interesting thought, just because he's more of that comedic-based writer. He can do very serious things, like what he's doing with Spectacular Spider-Man, but it's very, like, abbreviated with, like, small jokes here and there that just lighten the book up. So it makes me wonder what that book's actually going to be about. Because I think one of Legacy's biggest pitfalls is not having the Fantastic Four back completely. And I'm kind of sitting there, like, just tapping my...
Where are they gonna be?
Yeah. And, I mean, I wouldn't ever want to give Steve a moment to not talk shit about Doom. So,
he's having fucking him... boring. Look, Tim, we're going to keep this war going. He's boring.
Didn't you ever read that issue of Amazing Spider-Man when the Twin Towers fell and you see Doom crying underneath his mask? What did he has emotion.
What did he do immediately after that, though?
I don't know,
probably some cosmic bullshit that he fucked everything up, then it got taken away, then he went, I'm just going to go run my own country again. Brr, brr. I can't be happy having my own country.
If you ever once interesting Doctor Doom,
no,
you have to read Jonathan Hickman's Avengers run or his Fantastic Four stories. Mm-hmm. Avengers Times Run Out makes Doom such an interesting character and villain, because he's trying to do it. He's trying to do the cosmic level bullshit for like the necessity of the world.
Cosmic level bullshit. Ooh. Again, he is great right now as Iron Man. Keep this Doom. I don't want old Doom back.
I will say for the new Nightwing cover for the first issue is just a shot of Nightwing's ass.
I mean, just that's the way they're going to do it. So Tim Seeley and Sam Humphries are trading titles.
Yeah, I found that hilarious. I'm like, huh, interesting. I also didn't think Seeley would leave Nightwing anytime soon.
Well, you got to think about how long he's actually been with that character. That is
true.
Like, DCU Grayson.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's been a long time. And to keep, like, the level of quality that he's been going must be really hard. And I'm like, I am sad to see Tim Seeley go. But, like, at the same time, if you would have said Sam Humphries was writing Nightwing, I'm like, all right, dropping the book. Mm-hmm. But after Green Lanterns, you know, him getting to write two of Jeff Johns' pet characters and him doing such amazing things with that, I can't wait to see what he does with Nightwing, mm-hmm. especially.
And I'm super jazzed to see what Seeley does with Lanterns.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Sam Humphries has been great, but yeah, like, I think we're getting to the point with DC Rebirth that we could use these kind of shifts.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the stories aren't really getting stale, but it's like, all right, it's been kind of the same feel every single week. Yeah. I'm just sad to see if Sean doesn't stay out as a relevant character.
Yeah. It'll be interesting. Just, like, Humphries has done such an interesting job creating, like, likable side characters in Green Lanterns. Like, Jessica's family, Simon's family occasionally, you know, the infamous Pancake Night.
Yes.
So to have, like, that levity in Nightwing after, like, the doom and gloom shit of Seeley is, like, you know, as much as everyone loves Nightwing, he is by far one of the most tragic characters because he is part of the Bat family.
Everything good that happens to him never lasts.
It all gets taken away. Look at Nightwing New Order. Hey, things are great. I killed off the world's superpowers. What? My son has powers? Well, shit. Another thing that we did mention in our notes, after Brian Hitch leaving Justice League, we get Christopher Priest, which I'm mildly excited for. I'm probably just going to trade weight on that one. But Priest, in his interview with DC, he says he wants to have the Justice League be more ground level. Like, yes, they fight cosmic threats. They fight everything. But having the Justice League be the people of the people will be really interesting again in seeing that stuff go on. Which is interesting, kind of, since spacing right now.
Hitch.
Not Hitch. Well, yeah, considering Hitch has been writing the same goddamn storyline since his JLA run from DCU, or even, I am definitely spacing right now. This is terrible.
I don't
Steve
know.
Steve Orlando.
Okay. That's
the guy's name.
Jesus.
Steve Orlando in his JLA run. Also doing, you know, ground level stuff with some cosmic space multidimensional things. Like right now they're looking for Ray Palmer in the micro dimension, which is such a really cool concept. I'm like, oh my God, legacy characters and their actual counterparts. How exciting.
Woo.
Yeah.
I still dismiss Jeff Johns. Nothing will live up to that.
It's true.
Like just the just every arc just building into each other. It's just so great.
Yeah, I have something to mention about that with Metal later.
Yes. Oh my God, I was going to talk about that. I think we know the same thing we're going to talk about.
Yeah, so that'll be towards the end. Steve, how do you feel about all the creator change-ups?
Eh. I'll read my books. If they fuck with them, prices will be paid.
Or unpaid.
Also, yes.
I don't want this. Take it back, please.
I don't like this anymore.
Give me more Power Rangers, please. You gotta get, like, one day, you're gonna win the lottery, and you're gonna go into John's store, and it's like, all the Power Ranger heads.
One day I'll get that $300 stack. Or if John was to give it to me at an insane discounted rate, I wouldn't say no.
300, more like 3. Usually at booms at conventions, like larger conventions, they do sell, like, second print versions of all the Power Ranger heads.
I don't know if I'd ever see a White Ranger Tommy, though, because that one was very limited edition. That's why that whole stack is 300.
Yeah, isn't the Tommy one like 100 alone or something?
200, maybe?
It's like majority 150? Of the price.
Yeah. The others, I could get a first print of the heads easily for almost cover price. I've looked many times.
Okay. Who?
I already have the...
Let's jump to the third point.
The villain one.
This one, since it's so comics-based.
Yeah. You go first, Zach.
Oh, yeah. So we're getting a new series that I learned about today involving Bucky and Hawkeye investigating the death of Black Widow. And it's called... What was it called? It was an interesting title. Blah, 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 blah. It's coming out of, like,
the Tales whole... Tales to Astonish.
Yeah, Tales to Astonish. I'm like, no, oh...
Tales of Suspense.
The Hawk and the Buck.
Wait, no. No? No, it's Tales to Astonish.
No, it's Tales of Suspense, issue 100 by Rosenberg and Travel Foreman.
You're right.
The art is going to be killer. Mm-hmm. Travel fucking Foreman, dude. I don't know if I would read it. And I guess this kind of confirms the fact that Black Widow died in Secret Empire.
Yep.
Because they show her in like one issue getting stabbed in the back of the neck by Steevil. And then they show her in like another character seemingly being resurrected. But then the next panel is her funeral.
So maybe she's not really dead. Maybe.
Well, I mean, that's the first question. Is Natasha Romanoff really dead?
Maybe they pulled a Captain America Winter Soldier Nick Fury thing and he's dead. But he's not. He's in hiding.
I'm also really interested to see whether or not Steve becomes the new Red Skull.
Is Steve still around?
He's locked up in like... He's the only prisoner in like this super high class prison in Captain America. Somehow... was able to destroy all of the guards to have a one-on-one confrontation with Steevil. But I didn't read Omega, so I don't know.
It's sitting on the stack of 3 through 10 that I have to read.
I'm that. By the way, Black Widow died, Steve.
Guess I know that now.
Or did she?
And here I thought you would have caught up with that one.
I just decided. I got like 3 issues behind. I was like, eh, fuck it. I'll wait till it's over. Oh, it's out there adding another issue? Guess I'll wait a little longer. Now it is sitting in a stack on top of my new dresser. I'm going to read it tonight. Just so I can be done with it.
Holy shit! The second Ant-Man's in this series.
Well, he now it's just fully ruined. Why
did you just
even
punch the mic?
I like hit the cable.
It wasn't me. Yeah, like you said, I think it's we're at a good point finally where it'll be interesting to have like new blood come in and do some long runs. Or I really love what DC's been doing miniseries. Like in I think November, Ragman starts, and they're also doing an Etrigan miniseries.
Ooh.
So I'm like, oh, hot damn! And I'm kind of just waiting. It's like Gotham Academy third semester,
please
come back.
We miss you.
Well, wouldn't that just be the second year then?
Year two.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Unless they go trimesters.
No, they're a semester.
We're not talking about a pregnant lady here.
No. But yeah, it's pretty cool. I guess this is like...
It's an interesting storyline. Like, I like those two characters. I'd be curious to see how they interact.
I really hope they don't make like Hawkeye a romantic interest of Black Widow.
Oh, I thought you were going to say a romantic interest of Bucky. It's like, that would take a turn.
That's what I would want.
We both love Natasha.
Didn't see that one coming.
We both love Natasha.
Why
not love each other?
As we go on. It's my vitamin C song.
You know, sometimes you just gotta get a bro ready.
You know, what the perfect song about a bromance is a song about graduation.
Yep. They're graduating,
you know, not the
from
song
women graduate, to each other.
Graduating
not
to butt stuff.
Not the Lonely Island song about... being in a three-way with your bro.
I thought you were going to talk about the their spring break song where the end of the song is this just them marrying a dude.
No.
Oh, yeah. The whole song is like, drink a beer, snort some coke, marry a guy. It's like they go over all of the spring break stuff, and then the last line of every section is marrying a dude. Huh. Until like the last section is them like planning the wedding, picking out the cake, picking out flowers, and marrying a dude. It's the Lonely Island.
Why the fuck not?
Yep. Sorry, I'm looking at my email now.
I'm being a bad host. I'm sorry.
Liam, no forgive me. Work emails right now.
All right. One fun fact, because the next thing involves the same fun fact.
Well, FF.
But someone paused the Cowboy Bebop intro. And there's actually like a giant wall of text in that single frame.
It's when Jet's running on the screen.
Yeah. So if you freeze Cowboy Bebop intro credits and read the text, it says, "Once upon a time in New York City in 1941, at this club open to all comers to play night after night at a club named Minton's Playhouse in Harlem. They play jazz sessions, competing with each other. Young jazz men with a new sense are gathering. At last, they create a new genre itself. They are sick and tired of the conventional fixed-style jazz. They're eager to play jazz more freely as they wish then." In 2071 in the universe, the bounty hunters who are gathering in the spaceship Bebop will play freely without fear of risky things. They must create new dreams and films by breaking traditional styles. The work, which becomes a new genre in itself, will be called Cowboy Bebop. And I mean, that like makes so much sense to like how this anime was at the time of its inception. Like, it's brand new, the music style is super cool. And the director of Cowboy Bebop is going to be,
or one of the,
or one of the co-creators, is going to be working on a Blade Runner 2049 prequel series.
Yeah. Oh, did I link the wrong thing twice? Or just click the... Hang on.
Ba-da-ba-da.
I fucking linked the wrong page.
Le gasp. While you're looking for that, Steve and I were looking at Paranormal Activity. Okay. We were just having a conversation about it because I was talking about watching Mother.
Well, we were watching Film House.
Yes.
And they brought up Paranormal Activity after they were talking about It.
Yeah. And we were like, oh yeah, let's look at all the spinoffs and sequels. And we learned there was a comic book prequel of Paranormal Activity by Scott Lobdell. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, you know, back then, I would have said nay to this.
Okay, you were right.
Fellow.
So it was the director of Cowboy
Bebop. Aha!
So it's going to be called Blade Runner Blackout 2022.
Ooh.
Do we just want to replace this mural with a board that's like Zach is right and just put a tally
underneath
mark on
this
there?
Fuck Ant-Man. Screw Doom. See,
that's it. My thing has been replaced now. Now that Kingdom Hearts has a release date.
It actually has a release date?
Well, a release year.
Okay.
Well. That is more than I had last year.
Okay, Zach, go on about 2022.
All right, so Blade Runner Blackout 2022, directed by, I'm going to butcher the name, Shinichiro Watanabe, best known for the 1998 Cowboy Bebop anime series and his contributions to the Animatrix, takes place 3 years after Blade Runner.
The original Blade Runner?
There's a bunch of concept art out on Polygon's article. It looks really freaking cool.
Well, I was going to say, if it's as stylized as Bebop and Animatrixes, I mean,
very much
that would
so.
Be very cool looking. Would it star Harrison Ford's character from Blade Runner?
Are we going to get a stylized Ryan Gosling?
I'm trying to find who.
Well, that's 20 years prior to the movie. 27 years.
Little baby Ryan Gosling.
So it's difficult to determine whether Watanabe's short film will focus on the events leading up to the blackout, the actual EMP detonation, or the after effect of the explosion. Based on Warner Brothers' timeline, we know that a year after the blackout, replicants were officially prohibited. By 2025, Wallace Corp, a new company led by Neander Wallace, Jared Leto, and discovered a new way to end world hunger and breathe new life into the Dark City. So,
That sounds cool.
I'm actually excited for 2049.
I am too. I want it to be good. I'm a sucker for that cyberpunk aesthetic.
Have you ever watched the original Blade Runner?
I have.
Okay.
It's been a while, though. I need to rewatch
it. It's hard to go back to because it's pretty slow.
It was, what, the 80s or early 90s, right?
Yeah, like, it is that super stylized cyberpunk.
Early 80s.
But it's really hard, and you really don't give a shit about any of the characters. Like, the only
1982, yeah.
I feel like the only early sci-fi films I can go back to are, like, Star Wars, Star Trek II, and Fifth Element. Like, those are the only ones, like, from that period of time that I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, if anything, I would rewatch it just to understand, all right, that's where all the characters were at the end. This is where we're going.
Well, and there's a little disconnect for me because the movie takes place in 2019.
Oh yeah.
2 years from now.
It can happen.
And I look at like all their stuff, I'm like, wow, they really had a lot of faith in humanity to think we're gonna advance that far.
But we got fidget spinners now.
LED fidget spinners.
Yes. Fidget spinners and dabbing.
And hella.
To think.
Chloe.
We could have flying cars. We did not play any Before the Storm this weekend.
Nope. I think it's because I downloaded Destiny.
I didn't realize that whole game was already out.
Yep.
Yep. It actually came out on time. I mean, I'm like glaring daggers right now at Telltale. I'm like, why can't you do this? You make us wait months.
Your engine's still busted.
Busted. Hopefully, like, the new Batman. I heard the new Batman's pretty good, and the engine actually works. But I don't know. Yeah, those are my feelings.
I'm curious of... I'm like kind of formulating like Cowboy Bebop things. Just to give an idea of like everything else that Watanabe's done. I think he did Ergo Proxy too, which I tried to get into, and it was just so fucking weird. I might try to give it another shot though at some point.
There's always those weird movies that you like from a director, and then there's that one thing out there. Like, did I tell you like my full breakdown of Mama or Mother?
Yeah. Mother. Oh, okay. Here we go. As director, Cowboy Bebop, Samurai Champloo,
love that.
Kids
show.
On the Slope.
Fuck yeah.
Space Dandy.
Yeah.
And Terror in Resonance.
Perfect.
That name sounds familiar. It's Adam.
It's all.
Oh, out. It's that thing. Oh, I've been meaning to watch that series.
Yeah.
It's about the. No, Terror in Resonance is about these. Three kids that are like, they're pretty much terrorists.
Okay.
In Japan, it's supposed to be like a really super fascinating like crime.
Is that
like
Kira?
Kind of. What else?
Kaneda.
Tetsuo. Anything else worth mentioning?
I really want to watch Kids on the Slope again.
You know what I just realized about Akira recently?
What?
The two main voice actors in that movie, Johnny Young Bosch, and the kid who played Tai.
Yep.
Or Tetsuo and Kaneda.
Yeah, I'm excited for this. This guy's a legend. Like, he knows how to do like sci-fi movies and short films.
Well, it makes me wonder if like since Animatrix, even it was super stylized, but it had like certain musical beats. Like, is he going to like throw in his elements of jazz into this world of Blade Runner?
I doubt it. If anything, if he does try to incorporate music, I would think maybe he. It's going to be cyberpunk-y stylized.
Those darn kids and their tribal drums.
Boots and cats and boots and cats and boots and cats.
Shout out to Red vs. Blue season.
It looks gorgeous, six. Though. Like boots and pants. I will absolutely pants watch this. Pants
and boots, yeah, and I believe it, dude. I mean, he does great work. And as you mentioned, like all those series, there's not one I didn't like by him.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
It's not me this week.
We need a better table.
And tally mark. So is the Zach is right mark, is that going all the way across the wallpaper at this point?
I think for right now, we're just in between the two sections of sound canceling.
Okay. Because I'm right pretty often.
I think we'll just go straight down to the floor. And then eventually just walk on the carpet.
Fuck Ant-Man. Shit was the other
it's
thing.
It's like one of those, like the height charts.
I was going to say, give it a year or so. It'll look like a prison cell where someone's like just carved in the days they've been in there.
Oh, no.
Or look like an insane
I
asylum.
I like Zach's thing where it's like the little marks against the wall and then you etch in what I was right about. Power Rangers. Thor.
Just a spike.
Your name. Fuck.
Your name would be like a giant spike. Like, it'd be in terms of predictability how tall it would be.
And how much it pissed someone off.
Well, there has to be a scale of like where your prediction was and where it actually landed.
Yeah. It's like 3/4 of the way through. I get a mark. If not, I had to like patch a hole back in for one.
As far as the table, that is in the works. Dad has a lumber that once he's done with his deck, he's going to give us the rest.
I can use a new spray painting table.
I have plans to make a new table for down here.
Yay.
That's for not only podcasting, but also tabletop games.
Nice.
Woohoo.
And it'll be Gl worked, you know, those words. It'll have power in it, so we don't have to cram into the corner.
Yay.
It'll be where that table is.
I kind of like having being this close to the pool table, though, because I have a cup rest, cup holder.
They're going to be cup holders in mine as well.
Will we be able to play cup pool, holders, not pool table anytime holes. We want?
Because we've played pool so many times. Never mind the fact that there is just currently all of our D&D stuff just sitting on the table still.
And Chex Mix.
And Chex Mix.
Meals of Champions.
Two bags of Chex Mix, actually.
So,
that was all the news
for discussion this week. Can we open with metal?
Yeah,
let's do that. Actually, we should close with metal because I don't have anything to contribute for Runaways.
Okay, that's her.
I'll run to the bathroom while you guys talk.
You're gonna run away to the bathroom?
I almost made myself.
Fucking got him.
Okay, Steve, let's go. Runaways.
It was amazing.
It was a very strong start. I liked it. It was
beautiful. I almost cried a little bit. Runaways was one of the first comics I ever actually read. Actually, no. It was truly the first comic I read all the way through. Battle Chasers was second. That's why I'm pumped for that game. But Runaways always has that special place in my heart because it was what got me interested in comic books. Like, after I got back from summer camp where I read it, because someone, thankfully, their mom sent that to them.
Right.
And I read it after they read it. It's like, hey, you know where I would get comic books? I asked my parents, and like, you can't afford them.
No.
Like, oh, okay. And truth be told, couldn't have afforded them. Not on a 12-year-old kid's allowance.
Nope.
I would be able to afford maybe a book. And that book probably would have been
Trades
Runaways.
Would have been like your best thing
that would have been
as a
Christmas.
Kid. Yep. It's so fascinating. It literally picks up right wherever that original series ended.
Well, like, yeah, there is that slight time difference.
Yeah, there's the time jump.
Because, Nico goes over, all of the teams and groups that she was a part of.
Mm-hmm.
And it was nice to see all of that, too. It's like, oh, they're paying homage to all the things that she was in between Runaways. And then they talk about all of the death.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, oh, God, that scene with Gerd where she's like, is everyone okay? And they're like, not everyone?
No.
Victor died.
Alex was a douche and died by the hands of a demon.
Mm-hmm.
By the evil god they were all trying to summon the whole time.
Classic kids.
And then we met a Super Skrull and Ultron Jr.
Let's forget them.
Poor Victor.
It was cool. It was even cool to see, Nico is starting to realize that she doesn't know how to use her power still, and she's running out of words. Like, that was a cool thing that she's trying to figure out. Is oh god, I can't even remember which spells I've used anymore. Yeah, they kind of even elaborate on the Staff of Ones, it doesn't like reruns. Yeah. Doesn't like you trying to use the same spell more than once.
I think we're also at a really good point in that if this book is well received, Marvel may appeal to Hulu to get this into the MCU, because we've seen the Staff of Wotum already in Doctor Strange.
The Staff of One?
Yeah. It's not Wotum. No. Wotum's what's Dick's staff, whatever.
What was kind of funny is even in the comic, Nico, in her internal dialogue, is like, these spells aren't fancy like Doctor Strange. They just get the job done.
Yeah, it's like, I know you were expecting some Doctor Strange level magic, but nope.
It's always interesting to see, too, how writers and how characters figure out the limitations of their magic. And Nika's was always one that I was really fascinated by because it's one word usage only. And it's like, well, shit, you're going to run out of spells for heal and get well eventually.
Yeah, I mean, Chase even calls her out. I was like, why don't you use heal? And Nico's like, oh, you don't think I've used freaking heal more than once?
Cure. Cure Raga.
You're thinking of the Wand of Wotum.
Yeah. Is that not it?
I'm thinking of. Hi, Storm.
Funda.
Again. Uh-huh. Zach bought new spray paint today. How great would it be if he got the chance to spray paint today?
Funda. You've got teacher work to do.
Yeah, well, fuck you.
You were doing teacher work when I came down.
Am I not doing
you
teacher
need to,
work?
We all need to be responsible adults once in a while.
But yeah, to get kind of your point to if this book's well received, so far, I usually don't look at, the reviews for one-issue comics, but everything I've seen is, it's been getting, 9 out of 10s on, every review site I've seen so far, so I mean, I really liked it. It was a good starting point. It has me intrigued. I like the characters. I love Chris Anka and Matt Wilson doing the art. Like, everything's great so far. Like, I'm excited for it.
Well, and I was a little hesitant on
I know
Rainbow Rowell. What is her name? Rainbow
Rowell?
Rowell?
Yeah.
Because, again, this is her first comic book.
Right.
Like, this is her first foray into the superhero genre, and it's on one of my favorite series of all times. And I was hesitant, but after this, I'm like, all right.
She seems like she knows, she understands what these characters are.
And she, it seems like she knows what she wants to do with the characters. Like, mm-hmm. this is just a good setup to everything. I would have liked, personally, to see the rest of the crew. Because, like, they had
I'm sure they'll get to
they
it.
Had everybody on the cover.
Right.
And they only showed Nico and Chase and Gert. And Gert.
Well, how else are you supposed to sell a comic?
Old Lace showed up at one point.
Old Lace showed up in a flashback. Which
a flashback to, like, right before the event that happened.
Yeah, it's very interesting that it's retconned now about why Old Lace dragged Chase out is because Chase wouldn't have left Gert's body
mm-hmm.
at the time. So having Old Chase go back and be like, hey, take him out of here. I'm going to take the body. It's like, huh, that explains things now.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't need an explanation at the time, but the fact that they made one actually works instead of just like, yeah, some shit happened. Deal with it. It's like, here's an actual explanation that works.
I think my biggest hang up right now about why I'm not reading it is I want to get through all of Brian K. Vaughan's stuff first. Like, I've only read, like, the first volume or two, and then, you know, meeting characters in other books, like Nico was in A-Force, Victor was in Vision. Like, I want to have a very dedicated starting point where I actually know and feel for these characters other than, you know, Nico's flashbacks, like you said. So, yeah.
That's where I'm at. Because, yeah, they do have a lot of characters, and I was talking to one of my coworkers, because he read some of Runaways too, and I talked about, like, yeah, it was really weird when, like, it was really cool when they started incorporating other Marvel characters like Wolverine and Cloak and Dagger. It's like, wait, Cloak and Dagger were in Runaways? Like, yeah.
Yeah, they were.
It's like they were, like,
part of it.
They were the first connection to the actual Marvel universe as a whole.
Wasn't Wolverine hunting them towards the end of the series? Or something along the lines?
Yeah, because they became villains, like, most wanted villains. And so Wolverine was trying to track them down and take them in.
He's the best is what he does.
Same with Cloak and Dagger, as they were trying to capture them because they were criminals at the time.
Okay.
But yeah, this is a good starting point. We can see where it goes.
I put it on my pull list, issue one.
Yes.
I never do that. I always wait an issue.
It's fair. Yeah, show your support. Vote with your wallet for every comic series.
Go read Runaways. It's so good.
I'll read your copy when I get through all Brian K. Vaughan stuff.
Which will be when?
I don't know. When I have
downtime. You told me you were 3 weeks behind. I'm like, how are you behind on comics?
Because I don't have time. School started.
You still, but 3 weeks though. You only started this week. Like, even up to that, you still had time.
I hide my shame of how far I'm behind on my series.
Oh, I caught up and I was so happy with myself.
I plan on starting to, now that I'm at a good place in Destiny that I don't have to kill myself grinding so I can play every now and again, I'm going to try and dedicate more time to reading. So, like, I have all of Secret Empire set aside so I can just read through all of that and then just slowly catch up so I can be caught up again. Because I'm so far behind. Mm-hmm. Like, there, in my desk, the big drawer is almost full of comics in just that front section.
Read, Steve, read.
I read a lot of things.
Read more.
It's not everything.
Yeah, I've been reading, like, actual novels because I'm trying to prep for the third book in the Stormlight Archive, which comes out in November, because I'm not going to have a life until I finish that book.
Who reads actual books? Nerd. Damn. Pictures or get out.
There's pictures. There's maps and symbols and the occasional animal. But this is freaking Dalinar's book of the three. It's so hypey. I want to actually talk about Vision before we talk about Metal. If we're at a good turning point. Because I sat down to read Vision, And I actually got a notebook out to actually like jot down notes and ideas. And I was thinking about this. What?
Everyone strap in.
No, it's
going to be here a while.
I also have like things about Oz Effect too.
But like for real, you wrote
not Vision, Mr. Miracle.
Oh, okay. Oh,
sorry.
Oh, well then, yeah, that,
my bad. That makes that's so much more fucking
that is
sense
a
now.
Totally different conversation.
They're both red and yellow sometimes and they're written by Tom King. But Mr. Miracle.
God, what, you're throwing up like why are you going to talk about Vision?
I was
going
to say we're going for a throwback.
What the fuck?
Shit. Why aren't my notes loading? Miracle. Miracle.
Miracle.
But reading it this week, I'm sitting there, and at one point, Tom King made a tweet this week that Mr. Miracle is part of Rebirth and Metal and Doomsday Clock. It's all one story. And I'm sitting here thinking about it more and more about the shower scene more than anything else. Of how Scott knows there's something wrong in the universe. And it's like his brain trying to make him like force it and feel that. And it's like, oh, the shower is already on, Scott. He's like, oh, is it? And he doesn't know whether or not the shower is on or anything along those lines. And I think that's like one of those little temporal things within Scott Free's mind of him telling him like, this is not real. Fucking wake up.
Huh.
And Metron's appearance in that shows that even more, I feel like, because as dedicated readers that we all are, Metron's dead. He's been dead since Darkseid War.
Yeah.
Manhattan blooped him, allegedly.
And then
took the chair.
And Batman took the chair for a while.
No. That was after.
Oh, right.
Batman. So Wonder Woman lassoed Metron off the chair.
Right.
Batman sat down and became the God of Knowledge. And then Batman got up, Metron came back, Metron and Owlman went to the moon, and then they disappeared in a bloop. So I'm sitting here, I'm like, huh, this is really interesting. What the fuck is going on here? And as I was thinking about it more and more, like, the scene with Granny Goodness was very interesting, just because she even references, look, you know Metron. He came to you in that vision. Scott, you need to listen. And, you know, Barda being Barda, destroying her. Like, that was the most satisfying thing ever. But, like, her even telling Scott, like, trying to break him out of whatever it's in. Like, they're giving him the most recognizable people he's ever dealt with. Like, Oberon, like, Granny Goodness, to try and break him out of, like, this weird life cycle he's in. But the one thing that keeps forcing him to stay within this realm is Barda herself.
Mm-hmm.
With, oh, the eyes change color in the first issue. Oh, Barda tells Scott the shower is working. Oh, Barda kills Granny Goodness.
Or now that you got me thinking, the fact that she keeps saying, I'm too tall. Like, yeah, Barda is way taller than Scott, but what if she's actually just saying, hey, like,
yeah,
just commenting, like, I'm like an extra foot taller than I should
vocalizing
be
his thoughts of like,
yeah, something's not right.
She's taller than she should be. And,
yeah.
Nah, whatever. I'm too tall. Nah.
Or even like the whole thing with at the very beginning where Orion's the one just freaking decking Scott over and over, telling him to stand or kneel. Barda's the one who forces him to kneel.
Yeah.
Barda's the one who's forcing him to obey whatever he believes he's seeing.
Hmm.
Tom King, stop fucking with our minds. It's not cool,
bro. That's what he does.
More than anything, this is me just like looking at it and taking notes.
But everything you're saying makes sense. I feel like we should just preeminently just put a tack on
Barda.
The wall. Just Zach was right about all of Mr. Miracle.
Yeah, and I mean, this is interesting just because, you know, Mr. Miracle is this weird cycle of life and death. Like how Vision is a love story, if you think about it hard enough. How Omega Men is a story about justice and what is right and wrong. Jesus. And you're sitting there, it's like, huh, something's not right, but I just can't put my finger on it.
It's kind of fitting. It's like Bart is probably the closest person he trusts.
Exactly. So
why would he question her in like anything?
Well, and if you look at the character Barda, why would she constantly be saying, I'm too big, I'm too tall? Like, that just doesn't seem like... Because I found that a little weird. It's like, Why is she just randomly talking about her size?
Well, they keep commenting on, like, how she looks.
Right. It's one of those things of, like, this seems like weird interactions for some of these characters.
Yeah, especially, like, just the scene with Granny Goodness as a whole. Like, even before they beat her face in, the fact that she was so caring for Scott just seemed really bizarre for me.
It's like, my child, I was the one who told him about the anti-life equation. It was me. I was trying to help you.
It was me. Like, and then Orion, this vision of Orion betrays her. And it's like that whole thing. It's like the prophecy. The son of Darkseid. Is it him or is it you? And it's like, yeah, I mean, Orion is the blood son of Darkseid, but Scott's the nurtured son of Darkseid. So it's this weird nature versus nurture thing now. And it's like, hot damn, dude. Like, these are the things that Tom King excels at.
Like, New Gods is like, that was a like, him working on this is a perfect choice. Because there's so much lore and things he can just kind of subtly slip in there into the story that's working so well.
Yeah, and just reading it, it's like, I cannot not hear freaking Ed Asner, who played Granny in, like, the Superman animated series.
Yeah.
Like, there's certain characters that are always going to stick with me as, like, the canonical voices of characters. And it's like, yeah.
Kevin Conroy will always be Batman.
Yep. Oh, I just ripped my jeans. It's okay. Or actually, now lately, I started hearing the Batman voice and Ben Affleck's mechanical voice, which isn't bad. You should try it. Use your imagination.
Although, but, you know, it is hard sometimes, like, reading the books, because when they yell, because I recently saw this on Reddit again, you can't change the volume of the voice in your head. Try it. Try yelling.
Right. Fuck. Even if you
try whispering in your head. Exact same volume.
You get the inflection and, like, the style of it,
but you can't change the volume in your head.
Damn it, Reddit.
It's the exact same thing of Zach and his almost. You use all of most, but only most of all.
I said that to my students and they weren't as excited as I was.
It broke my brain for a little bit. I'm sitting there like, Son of a bitch, he's right. English is stupid sometimes.
It's what 6 hours of sleep does for you.
You know what's not stupid, though?
Mr. Oz, kind of.
Oh, I was going to say metal, but
We're saving metal till the end. Cause...
Oh, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about Mr. Oz.
Well, I mean, as of right now, Superman is leftist propaganda.
He's indoctrinating all of the children of America. To protect, I just reread it today, not only illegal immigrants.
Oh, yeah, this.
But.
This whole thing.
There were also Middle Eastern women there, because they had the hijab on.
How could he?
How dare he?
How dare he defend innocence?
For those of you that don't know,
Fox News.
Fox News. It was actually an op-ed, so it wasn't directly written by someone who worked for Fox. But it's an opinion article this guy wrote about this latest issue of Action Comics and how appalled he was that Superman did not fly the illegal immigrants across the border. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, wow, this guy really doesn't get Superman. He's like, even though this man is a illegal immigrant himself, I'm like, well, technically he did get adopted and probably did go through the proper paperwork.
Well, no, he didn't go through the proper paperwork in, like, the 70s. Reagan, I think it was, granted him.
Yeah, it had to be 80s.
Yeah, but they granted him citizenship. The president of the United States said, "For all of your work, you are now a U.S. citizen." But
Reagan, of all people.
But let's sit here and it's like, I think it was Reagan. I can't remember who it was. When the fuck did D.C. ever start mentioning politics? And then you turn your head slightly to the left and look at Green Arrow standing there.
I was gonna see he who in issue one called himself a social justice warrior.
Literal warrior.
Ooh, yeah. But, like, it also brings up the fact that did the person actually read the issue? Because
it sounds like they did. They just didn't read.
No, they read that page.
They read that panel. Because if you were to read the rest of it, he was not only saving innocent people, innocent workers from being murdered, he was also stopping, like, five other natural disasters going on in the world. An oil tanker crashing, people setting fire to other homes, 1%er homes.
Terrorists attacking.
Yeah, terrorist attacking.
Someone killing a rhino.
He went to stop all of this. Sorry if he didn't take 5 seconds to fly potentially illegal aliens. They never actually stated that they were illegal aliens. They just said they didn't speak enough English.
South Park, it was literally the South Park moment of they took our jobs and they took out guns. And I'm like, what the fuck? And then at the same time, like, there's a pimp, there's a sweatshop, like, Superman's going around trying to stop all these things. And it's like, you know, Superman even stops to comment, the only thing that's wrong here is the blackness inside of your soul.
Ooh.
And it's like, oh shit, son, you just got told off by Superman. And then, oh my god, I really want to talk about Oz. Because, granted, they did kind of reveal it. Like, but I don't think this is the end of Oz, but I think it's important to Oz's character. But it's not Zor-El, like everyone thought at Bleeding Cool, you know, Clark's long-lost, forgotten uncle who looks exactly like him back in the like Superboy days.
Oz-El or whatever they call him.
Zor-El.
Yeah.
And we get Jor-El. Like, they're in the Fortress of Solitude, and it's like he lowers his hood. I showed you this panel, and it's like, I am your father. It's the Star Wars Empire Strikes Back moment. And it's like, no, I am your father. And it's juxtaposed him, and then behind him is the statue of Jor-El holding up Krypton. And I'm like, that's a really cool small little art thing. But it's like, shit, all these people that got hyped up for like Pa Kent or like Superboy Prime or literally Ozzy himself. Not Ozzy Osbourne, Ozymandias.
The Prince of Darkness?
Yes. But it's like,
Superman.
But it actually makes perfect sense that Jor-El is Mr. Oz. But Steve, do you have any thoughts before I rant?
I just want to know, like, I know they're going to explain this over the next couple of issues. Why Jor-El hates humanity so much when he sent his child there?
To defend humanity. Quote, unquote.
So now he's like, eh, my son's defending humanity.
Fuck him.
But fuck him. I'm going to let them destroy themselves. Oh, he's about to say some deep shit.
Strap in now. Click. All right. I'm ready.
So, but yeah, you do raise a good point because it's like, I'm going to send you to Earth and we will figure out.
He will be their greatest champion.
Yeah. Or their most hated enemy. He'll be a god among men.
Or he'll just be a man among men who just has powers.
Because or he will be Russell Crowe's child.
Superman doesn't want to be a god.
Yeah. Can't wait to see all the fallout with, like, John. Hey, Grandpappy. Oh, my God. John and Damian have even more in common. Their grandpas
hate humanity.
Okay. So it makes perfect sense that Oz is actually Jor-El. Spoilers.
if we didn't throw the spoiler tag in the first time that you said that Oz is Jor-El.
Spoilers.
Part two.
So this actually goes back to the button. In my opinion. So in the button, Tom King and Joshua Williamson in all their glory decided to do this two-part crossover where they travel to the Flashpoint universe.
Four-part crossover.
Four-part.
Two and two.
Sorry. And in this crossover, they run into Thomas Wayne Batman. Thomas Wayne Batman tells Bruce, it's like, you don't have to do this mission for me. I don't want you to be Batman. I don't need you to be Batman. I want you to be your own person. And then the Flashpoint universe starts disrupting. They only got knocked into Flashpoint in the first place by this mysterious blue wave. Now, jumping forward into Action Comics this week, we have Jor-El acting as humanity's greatest villain.
Oh, God, he's pulling out notes.
Shush.
Oh, God.
It makes perfect sense. Give me a moment.
Thank we're God at, I'm strapped in.
We're at DEFCON 3.
So, it makes complete sense that Mr. Oz being Jor-El is possibly Manhattan getting underneath the skin of the greatest superheroes. Because if you look at Batman and Superman, they are the world's greatest superheroes. They always protect humanity no matter what. We fucking have Batman on a plane trying to steer it himself, and then they jack that for another movie. I can't remember what movie that was. Or maybe it was like the opening of Supergirl. I don't know. But
yeah, it was. It was the opening first episode of Supergirl.
So Manhattan plucked Jor-El away from Krypton the moment of the destruction and forced him to be like in a place like, again, Mr. Oz vision where he has all the different screens and forced him to watch Clark growing up and all of the shit that happened to Clark, including like the stuff from Savage Dawn and everything else. It makes me think that, or even in the fact that back in Rebirth, Pandora is like accusing Manhattan or whoever's behind the giant blue mystical glow shit that he's forcing the world to be such a dark and callous place. And I'm wondering whether or not this is Manhattan or some other divine being trying to force that darkness on the world and see if they can break the world's greatest superheroes of Batman and Superman. So why not create a villain who Clark worshipped so much but never actually had any interaction with to be his greatest villain, to be his ultimate antagonist?
Yeah, the hologram of Jor-El's consciousness.
Yeah, so Manhattan's mission is experimenting with these heroes and villains and to see if he could destroy the basic love and hope that all these characters symbolize, especially Superman. So despite all the shit that Clark goes through, he still wants to save the world. Not because he has to, but because he wants to do all these things. So thinking about this, Manhattan, if this is truly his intention, it's like, what's the one thing that can break this person apart is his own father who sent him on this quest. Even in the same vein of Bruce meeting Thomas, who's the one person that can break him away from the curse of being Batman.
His own father telling him to stop.
Yeah, so it's really interesting to see like this weird, grandiose disillusion of superheroes and their basic dynamics and this concept of hope and love in the universe being flipped on its head. And I think that's going to make it all the more interesting by the time we get to Doomsday Clock and with Rorschach's journal existing, according to at least one of those variant covers, or even if it's Rorschach's monologues going over the top of everything that's happening during Doomsday. Like I said, it's not like Geoff Johns woke up one day around, you know, Superman issue 34. And it's like, dude, fucking shit, Jor-El. He's the new character I'm going to make. Like, it takes some weird, crazy, extreme planning to see where these characters go from here and to see whether or not Superman and Batman are going to get broken by the events in Doomsday Clock or so on and so forth.
Well, Batman's going to be broken by metal.
Batman's just going to be broken.
Especially after what happened in this last issue.
Batman is already broken. He just doesn't show it.
Yeah, so I'm really interested in thinking, because again, if this is Manhattan's intentions, or even if it's Ozymandias' intentions, like the true Oz himself, what's going down? Because again, Oz is...
I could see Ozymandias working with Manhattan on this. Like, mm-hmm. Why else would he pick up the name Mr. Oz? Like, the only thing that made sense about the Pa Kent theory was like the Mr. Oz, we're not in Kansas anymore thing.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm wondering where Jor-El came up with, I'm going to be Mr. Oz, if Ozymandias didn't have a dog in this fight.
And also, I don't know if you noticed, but in the last couple of issues of Action Comics, they retconned the Ozymandias symbol. In Rebirth, and all the other issues leading up to Rebirth, the OZ tattoo is Adrian's symbol for when his perfume in the Watchmen universe. However, in this one, it's just an O with a Z in the middle.
Hmm. And all of the disasters, they point out that everyone has the OZ tattoo on their arm.
Yep. So it's kind of interesting to see whether or not if it is Jor-El kind of manipulating things like this. Like, he's just been so burned and calloused by everything else. Like, it's almost like a Jason Todd situation of like, you know, humanity has fucked you. Everything in this world is wrong, and I'm here to reclaim it as my own. So it's interesting, but I can understand why some people are like really upset about Jor-El being Mr. Oz. Like, he's one of those pure characters that should not be touched.
Right. It's kind of like my problems with the Batman Telltale game of how they fucked with Batman's whole quest.
Yeah.
Like his motivation. Like I hated that. It's like kind of like, no, that's something that's always pure to Batman. Leave it alone. That's the one thing we can always come back to.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. What were your thoughts, Steve? Like, mostly?
I thought I already put my thoughts out there.
Okay. I don't know. If you have anything else.
Quit asking for more thoughts. I don't have 15 pages of notes like you do.
It was also really interesting because we get that reveal in Action Comics, but in Supergirl this week, too. At the end of the page, he's talking to Cyborg Superman. Zor-El, his brother, is Supergirl's father, and he destroys him. Like, and I'm like, oh shit. And then you read Action Comics, like, oh shit, now it actually makes sense. It's really interesting. Can't wait for more. Secret Origins comes out not this week, but the week after. So, yeah.
Cool.
Why Jor-El?
Where?
And I can't wait to see. I wonder if Tom King's, superhero buddy team up is going to be Batman and Superman talking about the events that happened in the Button and then the events in Oz Effect.
Talk about their fucked up experience with their dads.
So your dad's evil? No, my dad was Batman.
My dad just wanted to destroy humanity.
Neat. We did forget to mention that Booster Gold is finally coming back.
We did.
Yes.
No, you didn't phrase it right.
The Green Lantern is coming back.
No, the exact text you sent us was a picture, and then Booster Gold is coming back, motherfuckers.
Fuckers.
Fuck.
ER. Not
I
us.
Thought it was fuckers.
Nah, I like the ERs.
And then just in all capitals.
Yep, Booster Gold, Action Comics, two-part event where Clark asks Booster to take him to the point of Krypton's destruction. So he gets to watch his home planet blow up and then watch his little spaceship fly by. And it's like, oh, there's Kara's. And there it goes into the Phantom Zone.
Oh. Thanks, Green Lantern.
It's because he's blue and gold. That equals green. It makes sense now. Michael Carter for life.
But does it make sense?
No.
Or are you just trying to make yourself feel better?
I don't know. He is the greatest Green Lantern, though. All right, metal.
Yes.
Metal!
Number two.
Slash
the Teen third, Titan. Third Teen of the way through. Gotham Resistance.
Yeah. That's a really cool jump.
I'm still a little upset that the outfits that Damian had on in the cover was not his actual outfit in the book, because that looks so much more badass.
Right.
He had, like, the mask with the demon horns on it, the...
Well, it's like Gotham Resistance is like a what if into everything else, isn't it?
No.
It's them trying to get to the top of Barbara.
Yeah, while the big heroes are doing their thing, you know, kind of getting fucked up. It's, oh, this mountain appeared in Gotham. What are we going to do about it?
Right. I haven't read it yet, so.
I've
only noticed like their different costumes.
Which they don't actually use in the... I actually really liked the art in this Teen Titans one.
Mm-hmm.
A brand new artist for this. I can't remember the name, but it had a very almost anime feel to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that worked with all of the characters really well.
That's cool. I was glad to sit down and like read Metal this week. And I'm like, oh, Daniel, Sandman, yes. Everything I have ever wanted.
And then...
And it's, like, so crazy that, like... Again, you know, Scott Snyder's been, like, teasing. It's like, this is everything we've ever been building up to.
And he wasn't joking. He literally referenced the first volume of Batman.
And if you don't... There's a reference from Death of the Family, too. Because if you read Death of the... Because I put Metal down and then got out my issue of Death of the Family... And then it's the scene when Joker's in the Batcave and he's just dangling the bat skeleton in front of him. It's like, he wants you. He wants to pull you into the darkness. And I always thought that meant Joker, like, fucking with him.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh shit, Barbados.
Holy shit. It goes so much deeper.
It's kind of one of those things that it's like, I'm sure he never had all of this planned, but all the pieces fit so well together.
They do. Like even him, when he's like, when I got blasted back in time and had to go through all of time itself. Like, damn, they're going way back with this.
Grant Morrison.
That was Final Crisis. Yeah. Or after Final Crisis.
The Return of Bruce Wayne. It was and then so cool, though.
The greatest thing ever. Little baby metal Doomsday.
With his little fingers. With his little devil horns.
Doing little devil horns. Like, when I first saw it, like, you pointed it out to me that he was doing the devil horns. I thought it was just, like, Doomsday doing, like, the traditional, like, babies just kind of hold awkward their hand, yeah, thing. Hand thing.
Then you look at the last page where he's actually reaching out to the Dark Knights.
God, that last page was chilling where, like, where's Bruce? Like, I am Bruce.
I'm right here.
And I was like, no, I don't like this, but it's cool.
Even the first line from Barbados, I keep wanting to call him Barbados. It's just with Wonder Woman responding, it's like, we've beaten monsters before only because I let you. It's like, oh God, this guy actually has all the power.
And I love how they gave all of the Batman their own individual word bubbles that mixed with their personality. Like the Flash Batman, how you can see the bubble was splitting into two. It was like the red Flash bubble and then a black Batman bubble behind it.
Yeah, Red Death was pretty cool. The War Machine with Cyborg. But just looking at the army, I'm like, it's chilling to look at all of them. And then you have Barbados in the background, just like cacawing motherfuckers. And then again, the man who laughs, like, these are Bruce's greatest nightmares, and there's a reason why.
God, that Batman is so unsettling.
Crow,
Robins.
Fun fact, someone asked Scott on Twitter, it's like, are all of these supposed to be the same Robin? Are they supposed to be representations of Dick, Tim, Jason, and all of them? And it's like, oh, you'll find out.
Well, it kind of hinted at it in the Teen Titans.
Did it? I haven't read it yet.
Do you care if I go through it? At the end of the issue, it goes to the man who laughs or the bat who laughs?
I thought it was the Batman who laughs.
Yeah.
It goes to the Batman who laughs, and he has his Robins around him. He's like, I need to send out my most important Robin to go take them down. Can you do this, son? And it looks, and it...
I'm pretty sure it's supposed to be
Damian. Yeah, it looks like a Damian vampire Robin.
Mm-hmm.
So I think all of the Robins are supposed to be like Dick, Jason, Tim, and then their hair just got dyed green, kind of like the Joker's. And
Well, it's like they're all wearing Dick's original Robin outfit. Yeah. So,
but then there is like what I'm assuming is the Damian Robin, either the Damian Robin or the Dick Robin.
I want to say it's Damian because it's the Teen Titans story, and it makes sense that Damian would have to fight himself. Right, but
it's gonna the next one's Green Arrow, I think.
So yeah, the Green Arrow Robin, of course.
It's supposed to be like the Green Arrow issue of the Resistance, then Suicide Squad, and Nightwing. But
I think Nightwing comes out next.
It's not specifically Teen Titans. So, and it could be Damian. Like, he is the killer of the Robins, essentially. Like, he is the only one who's really...
He's the one who thinks he's the only one worthy.
Yeah, and full-on murdered people just because he's an assassin. So it would make sense that he would be the most worthy Robin and be the most apt to have the Joker, Batman, say, go kill these people.
Yeah. Like I said, it's very interesting just because it's like Bruce has been used as this conduit. So we know parts of metal is going to be, you know, the Justice League trying to fix everything and save the day. But at the same time, we have Batman lost in the Dark Universe, multiverse, with Daniel apparently at his side. And that leads us to Batman Found and Hawkman. Or no, it's Hawkman Batman Found. Lost I thought, and Hawkman yeah, Found.
I think it was Hawkman Found.
Yeah, so Batman Lost, Hawkman Found. And they actually changed up the artist team for the Batman story. And it's like such a killer cast. I was like major goosebumps looking at it. But it's so hard because I'm reading this and like I can write about all my theories about Vision and everything else, but it's like, where do they go from here?
I was gonna say, like, this is such like shit show's not the best word. I say maybe more clusterfuck at this point in time, but you know, since everything has been building up to this, that it's going to make sense in the end. But like right now you're like, the fuck are they gonna do?
And the people that have been reading Scott Snyder's Batman since the beginning are getting so much payoff for a lot of things. It's like all these little hints. It's like, oh, it started with the Court of Owls, and then Death of the Family, there's also a reference.
And then Endgame.
Like, yeah, freaking, yeah, Endgame, all these things just leading up to it.
And then the ultimate element, Batmanium.
And again, that's another thing that was created during Snyder's original run. That was during Super Heavy. And I'm like, people are like, oh man, this is so cheesy. I'm like, clearly you actually haven't been reading Batman, because it's in context, because the metal, when they cooled it down, formed into the Batman symbol. Oh shit, that's actually some like creepy level
Batman
horror shit of like the dark universe. And it's like, dude, come on, man. What are we doing here? This is way too much. I just love that how they brought the Court of Owls back into it. And
they're like the masterminds behind bringing Barbados back.
Yeah.
Or into the universe.
God, I can't find this new creative team. Also, can we talk about the shit that it's the John Romita Jr. cover of Metal? Like, did you see it?
I haven't seen it.
John went out of his way.
Is it number two?
Yeah.
I'll look it up.
It's not shit. I will never trash on an artist, but like,
it's not your
what was Swamp Thing? Like, that did not look like Swamp Thing. And you know how much of a fan John is of Swamp Thing. It's a Swamp Thing Wonder Woman cover, and Swamp Thing looks like Man Thing from Marvel. And that's putting it nicely.
No, that's Metal One.
God, what was this team?
There we go. Ugh. What the fuck happened to him?
Oh, Jesus. What the fuck is that?
Again, I will never say any bad things, but what?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know about that.
I'm going through my Reddit right now, and I come across my own picture. I'm like, what the fuck? Who stole this? Oh, wait, I posted that. It'll be interesting. Like I said, it's something.
About to crank. They cranked it to 11.
Where's 12 on the meter?
No, 10's the highest.
I think this is going to go right past 12.
But it's like, again, you know, in the same vein that this all has been Snyder's love story or love letter to all of DC as a whole, it seems like this is like his and Capullo's like final payoff of like their Batman run before they actually work on something different.
Right.
Like, again, I'm kind of waiting for like the, you know, the long since rumored Snyder and Capullo Swamp Thing story, or like seeing them get to, I would love to see Snyder work on Wonder Woman.
Yeah, beyond I would too.
Everything else. But yeah, I really can't find this post.
I'll just Google it.
I found it through Reddit. So I think it's Batman found. It's creative team is all changed. But it's like, dude, hot damn. It was so cool. Also, did you guys watch the actual Axel Braun porn parody for Justice League?
No.
No, but I've heard the costumes are like...
The costume designs so fucking are killer. Good. We talked about this on the podcast. I like watched the trailer on YouTube. I'm like, man, these characters look great. Oh, they're groping each other's breasts. Okay.
Well, yeah, that's still porn.
There's the porn. I found it. Okay. Batman Lost loses Copial and Bangle and gains Doug Mankey, Yannick Paquette, and Jimenez and one other person. Fucking Bleeding Cool gave me an ad. Shout out to Bleeding Cool. Not sponsored. Never sponsored. So Scott Snyder is now joined by James Tynan and Joshua Williamson on the writing credits. So they're going to be tri-teaming this 40-page issue. And Doug Mankey, Jamie Mendoza, Yana Paquette, and George Jimenez are all doing art. And I'm like, as soon as I saw Paquette and George Jimenez, I'm like, all right, I'm already buying this, but I guess I'm going to get a variant too. Who knows? Mm-hmm. Shit. Yeah. Metal's been awesome. DC's been killing it. Secret Empire is finally over. It's a good day.
Yeah. Jim's has all this good news that we gave him. It's a good week for everyone.
Yeah. Steve, any last words?
Read Runaways.
Zach, any last words?
Doom is boring.
I need to get back to Destiny. I gotta get raid ready.
And I'm gonna read thesis statements, because that's what I'm teaching. Just one sentence. Just one sentence. That's all you have to write.
But Zach, the upside down triangle, it's still a triangle.
Still bothering me.
So the kid who said that to me was the younger brother of the skipping kid. That story I told you guys last night.
Oh, you mean hardcore parkour run skip walk story?
Yeah. That's a story for another time podcast. Yeah. And if you want to hear it, you can go ahead and head over to Facebook, Twitter, Google Play, iTunes, or anywhere that you listen to us and leave that comment saying, wait, I want to hear the story about a student skipping.
Shout out to all those who started listening to the show recently. We actually got someone actually contacted us through the website just saying like, hey, love the show. So shout out to you, Ryan, for getting in touch with us. And if you want to, you guys want us to talk about something, you can do that by going to our website and hitting the contact us button.
Or if you want one of us to talk less, that's also a viable option for you.
We may not listen. We may not follow through with talking less.
I'll talk less. Less strapping days. Or maybe I'll just
I need to turn the DEF CON back down to one.
Slide my notes to you, and then you can read all my
God, what happens notes when Doomsday Clock fucking comes out?
That's our Doomsday Clock.
2 minutes to midnight, boys!
We need to take the picture of the Doomsday Clock, and instead of the smiley face, just put Zach's head there. It's like, soon. The countdown to notes.
Dude, I can't wait. And then there's going to be a time skip after Doomsday Clock. What's going to happen in the middle of the time skip?
Probably a tournament arc.
Lots of filler.
The tuning exams.
Or the final exams.
Dry is going to take Batman and teach him the Rasengan and how to control the four-tailed beast for him.
But for real, though, what would happen if Batman could use the Rasengan? Gotham would have crime.
It's like the same thought process of like, who the fuck would give Batman a Green Lantern ring? That's all way too OP.
Give Batman the Shadow Clone Jutsu and the Rasengan?
I mean, the
Gotham would have zero crime.
It was so cool in the beginning issues of Metal where it's like, it's all the Bat family. Dick, I know it's you. And it's like the hologram face from volume one of Batman comes back out of nowhere. And it's like, well, shit. Okay, that's Barbara. That's Jason. That's Batwoman. And it's like,
Damian's driving the truck.
Damian's driving the truck because he's too short to be Batman. And then you get Swamp Thing drawn by Capullo.
Fucking punch to the chest.
Yes, that was super like, what the fuck is happening? Oh, it's okay. It's Clayface.
Like, he was like, that's so clever. It's like you got the actor to mimic Batman's own heart rate beat. Like,
well, no, he put in a transmitter. Yeah,
that's right.
That's why he punched through his stomach.
Yeah, that's why even Clark was like, he faked his heartbeat for me. That fuck.
It's so great. I love them so much. God. And then just Swamp Thing.
We didn't even talk about like how all the freaking like immortal people are gathering around. It's like, we have to go blow up the universe.
We're the fucking Legion of Doom in the Legion of Doom thing.
In a volcano in Antarctica.
Well, you had Kendra. You had freaking Vandal Savage. You had
I forgot to talk about.
What's his face? The guy who gives Shazam his power.
Shazam.
Oh,
the wizard Shazam.
Yeah. I'm just like, why the fuck is he? He's on so, this too?
Ra's al Ghul.
Do you notice that the wizard Shazam is sitting there and he has someone chained up behind him?
I did. I noticed he was holding something.
Yeah, he was holding a chain to the hooded dude. And I'm like, holy shit, Billy. Is that Billy?
Billy Batson.
Why are you?
And I love how Ra's al Ghul is like, I know I'm the youngest here. Like, fuck.
Yeah.
You're the youngest.
He is.
Y'all are old fucks.
Vandal Savage has been around since the dawn of time.
Yep, he was one of the first Cro-Magnons.
Hang on. There was like a weird list of other characters that were there too.
Oh god, he's looking at notes.
I can't remember.
I'm going to crank it back to DEF CON 2 for now.
But that's not important. I'm just thinking like,
holy
shit.
We started closing things out and then we didn't.
Because we mentioned something and that got us on another tangent.
But again, what if it was Shazam? What if that was Billy who hasn't appeared since Hellblazer Rebirth issue 1?
All he needs is to get a hold of that knife of Shazam.
The Shazamium.
All right, guys. Thank you for listening to a brand new episode. Like I said earlier, if you dig us, please tell a friend so we can start a pyramid scheme using you. And rate us on iTunes, Google Play, SoundCloud, or wherever else you listen to us. We do have a website, z2podcast.com, where you can leave us some feedback about our show. And like I said, if you do leave us a review and a 5-star rating or a thumbs up, you are a bloody legend. Now, that is everything, is it not?
Yes, that was everything.
You can join us next week where we will talk more. And if you want us to talk about something, just shoot us a message. We are always very responsive.
Yeah, you can write into the show if you want to pick our brains on something.
We can talk about why Doom's not a bad villain.
He's not a bad villain. He's just boring.
We can talk about why Doom is the most interesting villain.
So boring.
In the world.
And good night.
And a very happy Merry Thanksgiving to you all.
Yes.